is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly...
Next on News for the Soul, The Modern Day Medium with Julie. Julie is a natural-born medium and healer working with the light, channeling messages and healing energy from spirit. Using natural healing and mediumship abilities, she has dedicated her life to helping many break through physical, emotional, and mental trauma and grief. Julie offers practical, insightful, and detailed help to help you feel the magic that is being connected to your inner soul. Please welcome Julie back to News for the Soul.
Oh, okay, we're all on the board now. I think everything is a go. Julie, welcome back.
Thank you. So good to be back. How's everyone going?
Everyone is going well.
Good. Good to hear. Love it.
I'll just let you know that we had some trouble with the switchboard there, connecting and stuff. We've got one caller that's made it through and hanging on. So wherever you want to go, let us know.
Yay. Let's go to the caller. Let's do this.
Okay, diving right in. Boom.
No time. Diving
right in. 203. 203, you're live with Julie. What's your first name? Where are you calling in from? 203. Area code 203. I think we're in her pocket.
Oh. That's okay. I can see what's coming up for the collective. I can pull some cards out for people while we're waiting for the switchboard, if you like.
All right.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's build up the switchboard. Hopefully, some more people will call in through. So let's kind of like see what is coming up. Actually, let's look at what's coming up for the weekend, because I think a lot of people talk about like what's coming up for the week and what's coming up for the month. I think let's look at what might be coming up for different areas of people this particular weekend. So let's start with just like a general overview of what might be coming up for people over this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okie dokie. So for some people, when it comes to the general energy and their own personal growth, you might be finding that this weekend you're going to have to push through certain decisions, certain situations. So some people might be finding themselves being really, really reflective this weekend. And it's all about making sure that they, that they're staying true to what their dreams are, their visions, their goals, and kind of really pushing forward. So for some people, it might be inner reflection and having that courage to actually make those steps moving forward, especially as we're moving into this last part of August and as the planets are in retrograde. So you might be finding that you are going to need to push through a little bit more, be really, really brave about what it is that you're wanting to achieve, and really kind of honoring that and sticking to that this weekend. So for some people, there is going to be inner reflection, and for some people, there's going to be like actual actions needing to be taken place this weekend, whether you're working on something, whether you're studying, or whether you need to reach out to certain people in order to have your dreams fulfilled within the time frame that you are wanting them. So whether that's in the next couple of months or over the next 12 to 18 months. When I focus in on, let's go to romance connections, you know, whether that's family, friends, work colleagues, that type of stuff. It definitely feels like there's going to be more of a balance coming through with people's connections this weekend. So you'll find that if you have overcommitted yourself, and you might need to kind of pull back a little bit on your commitments. You'll find that with certain, I feel like I want to go to romance in this one, but I feel like with certain romantic connections, there will need to be balance brought back. There is going to be a level of like detox, meaning that you're going to have to be really open about your emotions, your feelings, where you're wanting to go. You might also find that the other person that's in this situation, whether it's just you've got like a friendship that is turning into something, it's blossoming into something, or it's like being already a long-term committed relationship, it's all about really finding that balance within the relationship, possibly even having to, when you go into a relationship, sometimes what ends up happening is the same old kind of like rules or whatever you compromised on at the beginning, that needs to be re-looked at. So there's definitely a space this weekend where it'll be a great time to have those conversations, or even the ball rolling to have those conversations in the upcoming like days and weeks. Because again, I keep getting told we need to let go of the old in order to bring through the new. And that could be just how we've been operating in a relationship no longer works for us anymore. Again, this can even come into like work relationships, family relationships. And you are going to need to flow with the energy a little bit more this weekend. So if things don't always go to plan this weekend, that's okay. It's super important that, again, you are moving away from commitments that no longer serve you. You are reframing the narrative of your story when it comes to connections. And it's a great time to, not necessarily like take time out, but it's a great time to reevaluate what it is that you're wanting moving forward. So it's a beautiful weekend for that. When I focus in on, let's look at like career next, career, finance, because I feel like that's really big around people at the moment as well, like where to next and things like that. So when I look into the career space, I feel like for some people, I feel like they've gone through, not necessarily the worst, but I feel like they've gone through that transformation about like where do I want to go, what I want to do, and they're really at the place where they're feeling a little bit more settled about what the future looks like with their career. So for some people, they may have felt, you know what, I'm really happy with where I'm at. I don't really want to kind of move my career in that direction anymore, or I'm happy with my current place of work. I don't feel like I need to leave anymore. So I feel like there's going to be a lot of people who maybe like 3 months ago were like, right, I want to move, I want to do this, I want to do that. But I feel like now this weekend they might be kind of just sitting with things and being like, maybe I'm really happy with where I'm at, or maybe I'm going to study something first. Because I definitely feel like there's enthusiasm as to whatever decision that you have made when it comes to your career recently. And whatever decision you made, I feel like it's going to continue to bring you more clarity as to exactly where you're meant to be moving forward. And even like, I feel like even with financial aspects, I feel like with the financial aspects, I feel like there needs to be an acceptance of where you are at, because I feel like the moment you accept, right, this is my financial situation, then you know how to change it if that's what you're wanting to do. Because I feel like sometimes we just stress and we get ourselves into this kind of like mental chitter-chatter, and then that creates anxieties in our emotions because we want to be XYZ over here when it comes to financial stability. But I think accepting what the current state of play is will give you also that clarity that you need to know what to do moving forward. If that is about, well, I really want that promotion because I want to earn more money, because I want to have a different lifestyle. For some people, it'll be like, I'm really happy where I'm at, and I just got to accept that maybe I need to pull back on my spending on things that really don't matter to me, that don't serve me, because I'm really happy with the current state of my, you know, my income. It's just more of how I am spending it. And I think also this acceptance is also going to be for people who are possibly putting their resources where they shouldn't. Do you know what I mean? Like where people are just like, oh, I've got some extra cash, and so I'm now going to like spend. And I think for you guys in America, your end of financial year is coming up in September, so it makes sense why this is all coming up. We're here in Australia, we've already gone through that at the end of June. So, and the last area I want to focus on is our overall health and well-being. So what might be coming up for us in that? So let's have a look. Okay, so when I'm looking into the health and well-being space, they are talking about, it's about kind of finding that center again. So this weekend, it has to be before when it came to connections, find that balance, pull back on commitments if you don't really feel like going, or if you've overcommitted yourself, because, you know, there is this level of reflection going on about your dreams and your desires. And I definitely feel like it's coming up in this health and well-being space where you need to be remaining calm. And one of the ways to do that is to come back to center. So whether you like meditating, going for a walk, you know, taking a long bath, or and for some people, calmness comes from spending time with certain people that can hold that space for you, whether that is like a health practitioner, whether that's certain friendship groups, or possibly just even being with your family, being super present, you know, watching a movie or whatever that might be for you. But I definitely feel like your best course of action when it comes to bringing a sense of healing into your space, there needs to be calmness, sort of whatever is going to bring you into a space of calmness, because what that will do is it'll really allow you to be grateful for where you're at. It'll give you a lot more clarity as to what you desire for your overall health and being. So whether it's like, you know what, I want to run 5K, but I've never run before. So you start to look at, well, what can I do to get to that point? So you do it in a way that is more, I guess, logical. So you don't just put your runners on and off you go and then overload your body and then you get injuries. You do it properly. You know, you get an app or you follow a program that's got to do with like from couch to 5K, that type of stuff. I definitely feel like whatever your desires are for your overall health and well-being, come back to that state of calmness, be really, really present, but also being mindful of, like I said, gratitude. Gratitude seems to be really, really big with where you are at, in order to cultivate and bring through abundance. Because I feel like when it comes to your overall health and well-being, I definitely feel like nutrition. So I feel like there needs to be a level of nutrition that needs to be looked at for a lot of people. Like, what are you consuming? What is bringing you into a state of like peace and harmony as well with the body? And I feel like the more that you do that, the more abundance you will get, the more gratitude you will have for your overall health and well-being. So I'm not necessarily just talking about like physical ailments or mental, you know, stability and that type of stuff and stress. I'm talking about like just coming back to center and having that sense of calmness and being grateful for what you currently have. Because I do think there is going to be an abundance of overwhelming joy and happiness for a lot of people as we're moving through the next couple of weeks. So it's about knowing how to receive that. You know, I talk a lot about at the moment, you know, the importance of like trusting in the process and surrendering to the outcome of whatever it's going to be, but then also allowing yourself to receive that abundance, receive whatever it is that the universe is trying to give you with gratitude. Because sometimes, you know, the universe is giving us pieces of information that are gold, you know, but sometimes we miss it. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, if you're into like tarot and stuff like that, whenever you see that Four of Cups coming out, it's like a blessing in the sky. So don't have your blinders on. Don't be looking out for the specific outcome that is in your mind. Be opened for the vision of your dreams to evolve as you evolve, so you don't miss out on significant opportunities, or you don't see the blessing in each opportunity, knowing that the universe has your back this whole time. So that's what I've got for the collective for this specific weekend over those particular areas in their life. So hopefully that resonates with people. Obviously take what aligns and leave the rest behind. So are there any calls on the board, or do I need to fill out some more cups?
Well, let's find out. Let's try again. 203, what's your first name? Where are you calling in from? Area code 203.
Hi, it's Pat from Connecticut.
Hey, Pat, how are you going?
Okay. My mind is kind of mush. I don't know if I talked to you about my dog dying.
I think yeah, last time I think your dog had recently passed over. Yeah, I remember that.
Probably. Yeah, I've lost sense of days and so on. Do you do generals? It's interesting you're talking about relationships.
Yes, I can do generals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to have a look at relationships? Yeah, we can do relationships.
Please, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, so the first thing that comes up, I feel like I've got more than one option. So are you currently in a situation or in a friendship with two different particular individuals?
Well, I've met two men. One I met a month and a half ago and haven't heard from him. The other one I've been very attracted to, and I am also uncomfortable about it. It's interesting you're saying that we're going to change our ideas about relationships. I've not been in a relationship for 20 years or more, and I'm heading back to being old-fashioned values, which I may never have had. And, all right, I'll let you go on about it, about him.
Yeah, easy done. Okay, no worries. Okay, so let's talk about the one that you're quite attracted to, but it just doesn't follow a conventional relationship standard. So when I focus in on this particular one, I definitely feel like there's like a third party. So I'm not sure if there's like an ex-partner wife or there's a current partner within that dynamic, but maybe they're not necessarily like together. But I like when I look at you and him, I feel like there's another person at play. Does that make sense?
Well, I know that a number of years ago, the wife had affairs and then got involved in other stuff, and I think they're divorced. I don't know if you're saying there's, you know, that connection or if he actually is involved with another woman.
Yeah, because I keep being told like there is like a third person, but I felt like it was like an ex, like I felt like there's either a current wife or a past wife.
Okay.
So for me, it feels like, with this particular relationship or situation that you're in with this particular gentleman, it means that for me to see that the ex is there, it means that there are still issues that maybe he has not yet healed from. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I feel like there's probably a lot of hurt still within him.
Mm. Yeah, and I feel like when I focus in on him, it's not that he doesn't care about you. Like, I feel like he does like you quite a lot. I just feel like sometimes I'm hot and cold. So you might find that he comes forward and then he kind of like pauses, then he goes forward again and then he pauses. And a lot of it is because he doesn't necessarily know what he wants. Like, he might say that he knows what he wants in the sense of like I feel like there's an element that he wants to be attached, but then there's also an element that he wants freedom, because
there
is the freedom that allows him, it's like the freedom allows him not to get hurt again. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yes,
so that's what keeps coming.
And also just getting used to living alone, you know, I can understand that as well. I've wondered about the fear of getting hurt again.
And he's definitely there. And he was with her for quite some time. So, you know, if she had affairs and then there was an open relationship, because I feel like he didn't want to let her go, which is why he allowed himself to get into a situation that didn't actually work for him, right? So what he's doing now, it's like he's actually mimicking what she did with him, but he's doing it in a way where he's very honest. Does that make sense? So, in other words, he doesn't have to take responsibility for his actions. If, for example, he says, oh, I want to hang out with you, but then he also wants to hang out with somebody else. Do you know what I mean? That's what keeps coming up around him. He's very kind of like, I don't necessarily want to lock myself into anything. Yeah, as I said, he does care about you. He does like you. And let's have a look here. I did pull out some cards for you just to kind of give you some clarity, and they all feel like they're quite relationship-y, because one was like a new romantic cycle begins, the other one was like be bold and make the first move, and the other card was a new start is coming. So when I focused in on that, it didn't necessarily make me feel like I was talking about this particular gentleman, though. That's the only thing. So I know you're attracted to him. I get that. But I actually feel like there is going to be someone new coming into your space. And this whole be bold and make the first move, I just feel like that's more to do with, like, I'm not saying, you know, when you meet somebody new, like, just, you know, put yourself out there type of thing, if that's kind of not necessarily how you operate. But I would definitely be more open about what it is that you want out of a relationship rather than kind of, like, sitting back and letting someone else take the lead and then direct the relationship. And then afterwards you're just like, oh, I don't know if I like this. But I do think a new start is coming, because it's all linking to like new moons, and one happens to be in Libra. So whether it is the new moon that's coming up in August, I feel like you're going to kind of have some revelations within yourself anyway about where this relationship is going and how you're wanting it to play out. But I definitely feel like where they said like this new romantic cycle begins in Libra, I feel like wherever there is a new moon in the sign of Libra, so that would be, what's that? And I think we're still in Leo, then Virgo. So from mid-September to mid-October.
October.
Yeah. Yeah, so mid-September, mid-October, that's kind of where I feel, and wherever there's a new moon in that space, I feel like that's the significant turning point for you where I do think you'll be able to open yourself up to someone else. Now, it wouldn't surprise me, though, that before we get into the sign of Libra, which is, I think, the 20th of something, of September, don't be surprised if you walk away from this particular... Like, I feel like you might walk away from both of these gentlemen in a sense of, like, I'm not saying that you go, right, I never want to have anything to do with you, but within yourself, you might go, this isn't really working for me. I don't like this kind of, like, up-down, hot-cold, in-out type of situation. I do think you are looking for a commitment from someone. I don't feel like you necessarily want to like get married and move in with someone straight away, but I definitely feel like you are wanting that companion where you feel comfortable, that you know that you could, you know, talk to someone on a regular basis. You could, you know, go to the market on the weekend. You can go watch a movie, you can go for dinner, and it feels that you're building adventures rather than building necessarily a life like we do when we're in our 20s, where we think like, oh, I want to get married, have children, have kids, and, you know, and buy a house. Right. I think for you it's about building adventures with someone. That's what keeps coming up. And I definitely feel like that's coming for you. I would say whoever you're meeting in this last part of the year, right, from Libra onwards, I would say that this is someone that is very significant for you that could be here for the long term. Because I feel like you've gone through some of the short-term ones already, not just these two. I feel like there might have been someone else as well, I'm being told. You know, I think that you've gone on some dates and had chats with people, but none of them have really kind of stood out for you. I do think there is a new cycle beginning. I do think there is someone new coming into your space. This particular guy that you are attracted to, I feel like when you do move on, as in like when you do meet somebody else and that open to that space, I feel like he might even come back and like not necessarily like propose a relationship with you, but may very well be more on than off. I just want you to make sure that you do what's right for you. Yeah, go. You have a question?
He's 12 years younger than me. We're in two different worlds. What's going on is just like I have not reacted to someone like this in so long and very seldom in my life, and I'm totally enjoying it. It's almost like unconditional love. In spite of how he's behaving, I have to tell him we need to go back to friendship because it's just not comfortable. I don't know how to interpret what he's about. And I really hope that we can keep that friendship.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever want to let the friendship go, that's for sure. So if that's what you're feeling, like I said, I do think there is someone new coming into your space. So that moment you make that decision that you're like, I don't know if this is right for me, I feel like you'll allow yourself to open the door. Now, by you saying to him, let's go back to friendship, again, he's very reactive. So when you say that, don't be surprised if he then wants to kind of go, oh, no, let's do this, right? So you're going to have to maintain your strength if you definitely just want this to be a friendship for the foreseeable future, because you are looking for something a little bit more committed. And don't be afraid to say these things to him. Like, I think it's important that he knows that you're not playing games this time. It's not about you saying, oh, let's just go back to being friends, because you're trying to bait him into anything. I think you need to be very clear about what type of companion you're looking for. And right now it doesn't feel like that's what he's wanting to put on the table.
Right.
And that's what you can say to him. I might be wrong. Maybe you do, and you just haven't communicated it with me. But this is what I'm really after. I value your friendship. Maybe we just go back to being that because, I do like your company. And then you can kind of leave it up to him to say what he wants to say.
Right.
I don't think he's a player at all, but he has been hurt and he has not yet healed everything. And for me, it feels like he can be very reactive.
Huh.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have to be strong.
The second one, I've met another man. Mm-hmm. Is he in other one coming in? Is that someone totally new?
The other one coming in is someone totally new. I don't think it's someone that you met like a month a month ago, or the one that you haven't heard from like a month ago, I feel like he's on his own path as well. So
yeah.
I feel like the universe is trying to get you to get out there, right, to meet people, to have fun, to enjoy yourself. But I also think they're very protective about making sure that the significant person in your life that you're meant to be with, that you've been trying to manifest in, is the one that you stick with without any kind of interference, because you have waited a long time for this.
Yeah.
Right? Even though I know you said you haven't been in a relationship for a long time, some of that time was very purposeful, that you didn't want anyone. Do you know what I mean? Like whatever you were going through, you were like, nah, I don't want this. I need to focus on XYZ. So now that you do have the time, it's like the universe is like saying, well, she's been super patient. We're going to allow her to kind of, you know, meet different people so she has a more conscious idea of what she wants. And yes,
right.
Moving away from the traditional aspect of what relationships used to look like, I think will free you to welcome in someone, so then you guys create what is the new dynamics for you moving forward. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is lovely.
Okay.
My dream.
I'm really glad.
Do you see me being in nature and financially stable and all that in a relationship?
I feel like the person that you end up with is quite comfortable financially as well. So I don't feel like when I look into your finances, I feel like it's been a little bit up and down at times. They keep saying like that's linked to your work. So whether it's that you've worked on and off, or maybe the type of work that you do has peaks and troughs, as in like, you know, sometimes it's really in demand and other times it's kind of like at a low period. But that's what it feels like for me. It's more linked to your work. But I do think that when this person comes in, I feel that because they are quite comfortable within themselves and like their financial stability, I'm not saying like they're going to go off and give you all this money, but it feels like there is more of an equality when it comes to the two of you, like who spends the money, that type of stuff. But I also feel like the person that you, like that's coming into your space that you end up with, don't be surprised if they want to live with you. There's something about like not necessarily joining like assets or financial stuff, but I feel like they may want you closer to them and possibly moving in. Yeah. So there is, I feel like she will look after you. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. This is great
and
very insightful.
I'm glad.
I'm crazy about him, but I know it's not right. So I'm just sort of enjoying being this unconditional love, and at the same time, it's making me look at how do I value myself. So you're just totally perfect, and you're confirming kind of my
good. I'm glad.
My concerns. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, 100%. You're very, very welcome. Good luck with it all. I'm sure, like, because what I've seen, I think you're moving into something really, really positive. So, like, enjoy yourself. You'll know what to do. Like, you're quite switched on. So, if you enjoy your person's company, as long as you're honest and you just say, this is where I'm at and this is what I want, that's all you can do.
Yep. Wonderful. Thank you. I love talking to you. You're terrific.
Aww,
and I'm glad.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Aww, thank you. You're very, very welcome. Thank you.
God bless. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Keep in touch. Let us know how it's going. And next up is 917. 917, you're up with Julie. What's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
Hello?
Area code 917, you're up. 917.
Hello? Anyone else?
Okay, well, let's go to an email reading while we try to get that one sorted out. This is Michelle in Ontario, and she just wants a general reading about finances this year.
Finances, okay, let's have a look at her financial situation. Okie dokie, Michelle. Okay, so I do feel like there is going to be, I keep getting told like there's a slight improvement coming, but I feel like I'm sitting around the month of like November for some reason. And this has got to do with, they keep talking about like a windfall. So that might be, there might be some money coming through, whether it is like a bonus or inheritance or just money that you didn't realize was going to come through. So I definitely feel like there is like a little bit of an influx of money coming through in November of this year or thereabouts. And then I keep getting told there is going to be a change within her career direction, but I feel like I'm sitting around February, March of next year. This is kind of where her financial stability will start to gain some more traction. I also keep getting told not to necessarily spend her money too freely. Like, I feel like they keep saying to me, it's funny, like, she doesn't really spend it on herself as much. I feel like she spends it on other people, or like, because they keep saying like she's quite giving. So I do feel like some of her financial struggles are not necessarily because she can't earn money. It's because of where she directs her money energy to. So I feel like a lot more, if more money energy can come back to herself, and they're also linking her career. So I definitely feel like there is going to be some significant changes that will herald in either a higher paid position or just kind of like more structure within her career that allows her to have a higher earning capacity. But I definitely feel like 2024 and 2025 are better years for her financially, because I keep getting shown that there are better opportunities for her that will present itself. So it's up to her if she decides to take them, but these better opportunities will again herald in more money. I even feel like I want to say like more bonus or commission or something like that. So I'm not sure if she's into like sales or why like certain projects that she would work on would allow her to like make more money. So I'm not sure if she like runs her own business and, you know, kind of different projects herald in a different amount. But I definitely feel like 2024, 2025 are her better years. And again, it's all linked to career changes for her. And even though she may be not necessarily struggling at the moment, but it might be more that she's just like, oh my God, it's like I'm on a hamster wheel. Like I just keep going. Again, I keep getting shown that she needs to release certain things that no longer serve her, stop being so giving, because I feel like that giving may even come from a level of subconscious validation, meaning that she may naturally be a people pleaser and is aware of it and is working towards it. And I feel like some of the people that she may give more freely to don't actually need her to give anything. They just want her time. So I think that's super, super important. And this is where I kept getting told self-care, like, she needs to really work on spending the money on the things that matter to her for herself, for her own overall health and well-being, and not externally. But again, I just feel like there is some real big career shifts coming up for her that's going to actually help her a lot more with her finances, and she won't feel like she's struggling. So hopefully that makes sense. For Michelle. Is 917 available or?
Okay, sorry, I've got a delay on the board. The whole thing's been a little glitchy and weird. Let's check in with 917.
Yeah.
917, are you there yet? What's your first name? Where are you calling in from? Area code 917. Yeah, I don't know if the board's activating when I'm.
Yeah. That's okay. I'll pull out some cards for 917, so they should know when I say 917 who they are. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Area code 917. Okay, cool. Perfect. So, okay, let's just pull out some cards for 917, and hopefully they can hear this or listen in on the replay. Let's have a look. I feel like I'm going to go to Korea for 917. I don't know. Let's see. That's kind of where I'm being pulled again. There's a number of things in their life that I feel like even romance. So let's have a look at career first for 917. Okie dokie. So I feel like there's definitely like impatience keeps coming up around 917. So, and again, I'm really focusing more on the career space. I feel like they've been, they've got a goal in sight. They definitely have something that they truly, truly, truly want to achieve. They feel like they're not far from it. It's like they can touch it, but for some reason, something is just holding them back. And I also feel like they may not necessarily feel like they're on solid ground for this particular desire, goal, or vision that they have within their career. And this kind of like sitting in that void where they're not sure what to do next. I feel like that also causes them a little bit of this kind of like feeling impatient. I also feel like they're not necessarily listening to their intuition as much as they should. And I also feel like they are not speaking up about what is concerning them. So sometimes we have a vision and a goal within our career, but we don't necessarily broach our managers, or we don't seek wise counsel to get to where we need to get to. And I feel like 917 isn't, again, I don't feel like they're listening to their intuition as much, and I don't feel like they are voicing what it is that they really, really want to kind of like say. So I do think for them, if they can definitely work on activating their throat chakra, and even like having compassion for where they're at, I feel like that energetically will radiate outwardly, and I feel like then they'll attract whatever this thing within that career space. And again, career could be anything that, whether it's a passion project, a work thing, a volunteer thing, an opportunity, a promotion, there's just something within that space. And I feel like the more that they kind of activate their throat chakra, focus on the compassion for themselves and the situation that they're in, I feel like their energy will radiate outwardly. And I feel like they will definitely get what it is that they want. Because at the moment, they're just like sitting there, sitting back going, oh, it's never going to happen. But it's almost like, it's almost there. I can touch it. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, maybe it's not going to happen for me. So there's a lot of self-doubt within that space. And when I focus in on relationships for them, I definitely feel like they need to heal the heart space, because I keep getting told they might be feeling like people are talking about them, or they're just kind of like, I feel like they're just not sure about the truth of a situation when it comes to like matters of the heart. That's what keeps coming up. And so like they're second guessing information that's coming through. Now, whether this is information coming through from a particular partner of theirs, or whether people outside of the connection are talking, but I definitely feel like it's causing a little bit of anxiety in the solar plexus, and a little bit of uncertainty within the heart space. And it's really affecting like this person's like self-worth. Like they really want joy. You know, at the end of the day, they want to feel this happiness and joy within their connections. But I feel like whatever is going on externally, when it comes to, I keep seeing people like talking, or information that's coming through doesn't feel like it's 100% right, and it is affecting their overall self-worth. But I definitely feel like this is the space that they're in because there is a lot of change coming for them. I feel like they're going through their own internal awakening. And I keep getting told as well, like, you know, whatever relationship you're in, when it's between you and someone else, should always be kept sacred. So try not to disclose too much of, you know, your personal aspects of the relationship, or things that this person's told you. Like, don't gossip either about the connection, because I feel like sometimes it's good to have like great friends that can offer you advice or hold space for you. It's another thing to continuously I don't use the word whinge, but to constantly like talk negative about the relationship, or that how that person feels. Like, I definitely feel like it's, and like we've all done it before, but I think it's important that you keep that relationship sacred, the energy sacred, and just, I think Oprah said this once to Beyonce, don't talk about your relationship to other people, because the moment you do, you invite other people's energy into the relationship, and then that energy becomes your thoughts and becomes your narrative. And then that's kind of where there's room for misunderstandings, miscommunication, insecurity. Again, like that, where I was talking about, like, you know, the self-worth, like you start to create drama where it doesn't need to be, if you can just have an open communication and never, ever, ever fight. We'll never bring arguments into the relationship that are not yours. So, for example, you know, don't talk about friends, about what's going on with someone else's relationship, and then create an argument within your relationship because of what's going on externally. So I feel like I'm saying all this stuff because I feel like with 917, there must be stuff going on in the connection space where there's just, I feel like there's too many people involved in a situation, or too many people have a sense of opinion that really they don't need, but 917 may have invited it in unknowingly, that it might create a little bit of drama or uncertainty, or, you know, lack of self-worth within them. So hopefully that makes sense when they listen to the replay of it.
All right. We're just going to stick with emails. Well, let's try one more time. Why not? Third time, lucky 917. This is your last shot. Are you there? What's your first name? Where are you calling in from? Yeah, the board is just weird this hour. Took us forever to get on, too.
Isn't Mercury retrograde kicking in soon? Isn't Mercury retrograde like a week or two away?
Probably. Let's go to emails. It all is where we're supposed to go anyway. So we've got Lisa in Florida, and she wants to know if you see any new relationships, any new love coming into life.
Ooh, love connection. Let's have a look at Lisa. Okay. I keep getting told like that's a big yes. I keep getting shown to Lisa there is going to be new love coming in for her. I feel like, let's have a look. I feel like it's my summertime, so that would be December, January, Feb. So I definitely feel like it's coming in. And I keep feeling like it's going to come in hot and fast and strong. So that would indicate to me that, you know, possibly over this festive period for you guys where it's, like Christmas, New Year, I just feel like there is going to be some opening I even want to say like a reconnection. So this might be someone that she's met in the past. When you meet someone and it's just like the right person, wrong timing, but it doesn't feel like when I'm saying like it could possibly be this reconnection, it doesn't feel like it ended badly or there was any animosity or any negativity. It could even be like a childhood friend or something. I feel like I'm reconnecting with someone that I already know that I could have had a connection with, but it didn't go into a full-blown relationship. So I don't think it's like an ex-partner. And I feel like this person's going to come in like, they keep saying like hot and heavy and like fast and everything like that. So I definitely feel like the chemistry is quite strong between the two of them. And try not to rack your brain, Lisa, as to who it might be, because Spirit is really good at not giving you necessarily clues about who it might be. Because, again, I keep getting told like when it does come about, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And I feel like when you see them and meet them, it's almost like you're like, oh, I can't believe it's you. You look so different. Or like, oh, my God, you look amazing. I feel like they may have transformed themselves internally and externally for you to be thinking like, oh, my God, who are you type of thing? You look amazing. But it definitely feels like it's some type of reconnection from someone from the past. Again, you guys could have just been friends or you may have had a crush on them, but it doesn't feel like it's an ex-partner. And again, I feel like it's definitely coming in fast for you. All I'd say is maintain a steady pace with this particular relationship because wherever you need guidance, seek it. Because I feel like you might have fear of accepting the relationship. So if you so to not self-sabotage it and to make sure that it, you know, goes at that long-term relationship that you're after, make sure that you have the endurance for that relationship. Meaning, because I can see this person coming in fast, it's almost like make sure that the relationship doesn't go from 0 to 100 within like 2 weeks. Do you know what I mean? It feels like just slow down the pace where possible to maintain like the longevity of it. So you don't have this stop start scenario, because I feel like with Lisa, that might be something that has happened to her in the past where relationships have come in and it feels like all amazing and all of a sudden, you know, the rug gets pulled out from underneath her. So they're saying that this is one of your biggest lessons. And so as this relationship comes into play, make sure that you slow it down where you need to, because that will allow, allow the longevity and it'll also allow you to really accept the relationship with what is being shown up for you, because I feel like you've been waiting for this for a while, so you may be a little bit like impatient and we also don't want you to kind of go into this space of like them becoming complacent either. So I feel like with you, when I'm focusing on energy, when it comes to relationships, because you have been hurt in the past, your emotions kind of waver up and down. It's just like, oh, like, And when they come in really fast, it's like you can become complacent and then lose sight of the bigger picture. So it's about making sure that you go steady with this one. But specifically with this one, for some reason, they're really adamant about you learning your lessons from all the other times. Because I feel like this person is different. And because of that, I feel like you're going to really enjoy it if you just take your time and don't rush. And yeah, I mean, I know everyone's just like, oh, I want to find my one and I want to get married. I want to do this and blah, 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 and I get it, totally get it. But sometimes the best relationships are the ones that you allow the foundations to be built first, meaning get to know each other, make sure that friendship is really solid. And, you know, that doesn't mean that you can't be intimate and have fun and enjoy the relationship, but it's also about just not making it about the one thing, like really allow the two individuals, the two energies to connect on many different platforms. So then the foundation is really, really strong. The pillars are set in concrete. That's what I like to tell people. Put your pillars in the concrete that it's set and continue to build. So hopefully that makes sense, Lisa.
All right. Well, with that, we're down to the last 3 minutes. So some wrap-up and shameless self-promotion would be awesome.
Yay. Okay. So thank you so much for everything today, guys. If you are wanting your own private reading, then you can head over to my website, which is moderndaymedium.com.au, and follow the prompts and you can book yourself in a 1 hour reading with me. I also do work with people in a personal development space. So if you are wanting to, shift your mindset, or you're wanting to really work on different aspects of your life to, because I also do like performance coaching. So, you know, career, finance, things like that. We can kind of help you within that space. So that's in my private business. If you run your own business or you work for a company that you feel would benefit having someone come, like myself, come in and work on the business's structure and setting it up and making sure that everyone's in alignment for that expansion, then I also work with organizations and businesses within that space to really focus in on the industry and where the business needs to go and align with that energy of the business in order for success and expansion. So again, all my information is on my website, which is moderndaymedium.com.au. So thank you so much today, guys. That was awesome.
All right. Awesome. It was great to connect with you, Julie. We'll talk to you next time. Be well.
Yes,
and,
definitely. Thank you, you too.
Julie's all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. And we're back with more right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights. Life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
From the heart of Vancouver, what a great place to bring News for the Soul.
I know, isn't it perfect? Remember that movie Dead Zone, Christopher Walken?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like that for real.
I think reasonably accurate, too, honey.
Oh, that's an understatement, honey.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our hearts and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Well, Daniel just mentioned the heart attack. That is how he died, isn't it?
Yes. Wow. Actually, two heart attacks, right up one heart after the other.
Yeah, that's what I
said.
Wow.
No, I had him. This is not a, you know, I have him.
You know, the whole thing about the spirituality and the wealth or sustainability not going together, I just think is the biggest load of crap, you know? I mean, what have you got...
Like it is, girl.
Well, really, what have you got to give anyone if you've got nothing?
Buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy, because Candace is going bye-bye.
Yes, I had this really bizarre experience where I got sucked through a wall, like a solid wall.
During the time that I was knocked unconscious, an angel came to me.
People's solidity began to morph with the geometries. So you'd see little bits of their, like their hand began to go missing.
And this particular angel, as I recount in the book, said to me that I had chosen the wrong path in life, that I was to choose a new path, and it was to be a path of peace. I was to teach peace.
Lots of amazing things coming up for this hour. News for the Soul. Steve Vaughn back in 1 minute.
I'd have to believe that the times that we're in are very important to us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Because if we're not really, really careful in paying and complimenting News for the Soul, we're about to find ourselves wrapped up in something that will literally encompass the world.
Yeah.
And not from the viewpoint that we're looking at it from. And so tonight...
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
News for the Soul phone lines are now open. Call in now for a free intuitive reading on the air. Dial 646-595-4274. That's 646-595-4274.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Let's try that again with me unmuted. Here we are, Stariel Astrology, one of our newest shows on the network with Anne. Let's bring Anne on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Anne, do we have you on the board?
Yes, I'm here, and we're ready to go.
Yay! All right, well, let's get you to reintroduce yourself and your show and all that.
Okay. My name is Anne Bieberstorf. And I have a website called Stariel, that's the word star followed by I-E-L, like Ariel with an S-T on the front of it, stariel.com. And there you can find information about what I do, and you can contact me. And what I do is I read astrological charts for people who are wanting to learn more about themselves, who are wanting to navigate a particularly tricky piece of time in their lives, just have questions about the world and how it works. And we're welcoming anybody who would like to make a call in this afternoon, this evening, and I will take a quick look at the chart. It will require that you have your date, month, year, exact time, and city and state of your birth so that we can get the data. It's like garbage in, garbage out. So if we've got good data, we can get good information. If we've got bad data, the information isn't going to be so good. So that's how that part works. But what I'd like to do right now, Nicole, is talk a little about astrology and how it works and why it works, which is kind of like the question about astrology. Most people look at me when I first say that's what I do. They go, that's idiocy. How can you believe that? Well, the best answer to how can you believe it is because it works. That's a very practical answer. But I've thought a lot, because I've been doing this 30 years, over 30 years, I've thought a lot about why does it work? How does it work? What makes it work? And there we get into a big discussion that goes way beyond the borders of astrology itself. Because what we're looking at when we're looking at astrology is we're looking at the universe we can see from our position on Earth. So we're looking at the universe. And new physics is telling us, in fact, some not new physics says the same thing, that everything out there is reflected everywhere. You've heard that if you look out into the stars, you've probably seen the videos, if you look out into the stars and go farther and farther and farther and farther out, it's an amazing, beautiful picture. But if you take a microscope and start looking in, into a rock or a human or a piece of paper and go in and in and in and in, you get the same picture. This is the nature of the universe. And we call it now fractals because out and in and beginning and in are part of a pattern. And the pattern is not exactly the same every time it runs, but it repeats itself in an organized manner. So chaos is a type of science that's really talking about the organization of what seems to be disorganized material. So when we look at astrology, we're looking at the stars in the sky. And somehow the stars in the sky tell us something about who we are, about how our life is going to be, how this new venture is going to turn out, whether this person you just met is an important person for you to know. Because just as you go out farther and farther and see the picture, you can come in and in and see the picture. Now, why does it depend on when you were born? It depends on when you became an individual in the universe rather than a part of another individual, your mother. So once you became an individual, you get kind of time stamped. And that time stamp carries basic information about who you are. We look at the planets, the sun, the moon, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Chiron is in there. Some other things are in there. We look at these and they make a pattern. And they make a geometric pattern in the sky. And we make astrologers turn that into a chart, which is a shorthand version of what we see in the sky at the moment of your birth. But the geometry matters. The geometry creates a shape. If you have a conversation with four people and you're sitting like around a card table, the person across the table from you is the easiest person for you to communicate with. But if you go to the left or the right, it's not as easy to communicate with those people. That's the geometry of relationship. And in astrology, that would be what we would call a grand square. There are two pairs, and it's like at a four-way crosswalk or intersection, car intersection. The two cars that are going toward each other have a chance of passing each other. But the two cars that are coming from the other two sides, if they're all going at once, there's going to be a wreck. And so a grand square is an awkward communication channel. You can practice this in patterns. If you've got six people sitting around the table, you have the best conversations with the people at the 1-3-1-3-6-3-6-9 positions. The triangle makes a good conversation. And a triangle doesn't have any possibility of collisions. And so in astrology, a triangle is what we call a trine, easy enough. And a trine is an easy flow of energy. Now, sometimes you got bad planets. There aren't really any bad planets, but planets that can cause more disruption. And if they're in a trine, the easy flow of energy is rather destructive. But if good planets are in a square, that's a destructive energy pattern, but it's friendly planets, planets that don't tend to cause difficulties or disruptions, are working that square. So I know I'm blabbing, but what I'm trying to say is that there's a pattern that is universal, and the pattern occurs between friends, occurs around a dinner table, occurs in the sky, occurs in your birth chart, and it occurs in the chart of your birth compared to the chart of the day and what you're seeing around you in today's chart. So that's what makes astrology work. A lot of times people have wondered about rays from planets. I don't think there's any evidence. Nobody's found any, and I don't think we will find any evidence of that, because what we're looking at is a universal pattern. And the pattern is, frankly, a hologram. It says that everything will continue to repeat in a predictable pattern unless there's a major factor change. So if one planet disappeared, there would be a slight rearrangement in how we talked about the other planets because there's a piece missing. Or if a new planet gets trapped in our solar system, an asteroid, that's Chiron did, gets trapped in our solar system, it shifts some of the ways we talked about the other planets. But the hologram says that everything that exists in the big picture, the nature of a holographic image is it's three-dimensional. You can walk all around it and see all of it. But if you take that hologram and break it into little pieces, every one of those little pieces will show the big picture. And that's what we're doing when we're looking at the chart of a moment in time, which is a chart of a birth of a person or a building or a chicken. We're looking at a hologram of the universe at that time. And then we're relating it to the universe as a whole. And there's actually a scientist called, his name is Nassim Haramein, and he has a very large presence online. But he's an interesting fellow. He's a physicist who is self-taught from his VW van when he was unemployed and didn't have a computer. And he has written papers, one of which just in the last few years was named by the International Physics Conference in Europe the best paper of the year. And it was talking about how the universe is a hologram and how once we see a small piece of the universe, like you, like your birth chart, like your dog, you can see the whole universe. Talk about, was it Yeats who talked about seeing the universe in a grain of sand? That's literally the possibility here. That's literally the scientific truth. And what we're doing when we look at a birth chart is we're looking at the universe in you, and we're seeing how you are a part of the universe. One of the things I find interesting, though, about astrology is that it helps us see who we are as opposed to the people around us and who they say we should be. Quite often people will say, oh, so it's all right that I always did the weird thing. It's all right is irrelevant. It's you. And you are a cell in the body of God. You are an inextricable part of the universe. So what you do is right for you. Now, obviously, there are people who do destructive things, and I have to believe, although sometimes it stretches my patience to try to believe this, that in the whole picture of things, the good and the bad and the indifferent and the cruel and the loving are all part of the whole picture. But let's say you've got a problem with authority or you have a problem with alcohol or drugs. Those are planets in your chart that are creating those problems. And when we look at those planets, we can say, oh, there are two ways of looking at this issue. And you have been doing it this way, but there's another way that will also work for you if you want to give it a try. So you can look at different ways of doing things than you've done in the past. And there's also a very neat system in Vedic astrology where you can cure a planetary problem by doing exercises like lighting a certain color candle on a certain day of a week. And that will help remediate the problem, because what we're doing there is we are putting ourselves, we are interjecting ourselves into the larger body of the universe and saying, I need to make a change. I need to balance myself with the planets that I am involved with because I was born with this planetary energy. And when we make those changes, amazing things can happen. I always hesitate to say this because it's really quite unbelievable, but it happens over and over. And when I recommend these things to clients, things change. They don't necessarily change in the exact way you want them to, but they do get better. So that's the nature of astrology as a whole. One of the fun things that happens in astrology is, gosh, I don't know when the planets were named, like Sun, Moon, Earth, Mars, Venus. But the interesting thing is these planets tend to act in the way that the gods or goddesses of Greek and Roman mythology that they're named after, what those planets, what those gods acted like in their time period. And this continues because as new planets are discovered and they're named, they tend to act like what they were named for. Now, I can't explain why this has happened. I don't think anybody can, but it works almost always very accurately. However, there is an exception with the planet Uranus, which a very great astrologer, Richard Tarnas, has said is actually misnamed because it should be Prometheus, but that's a whole different story. But what this tells us is if you know a little bit about Greek or Roman mythology, you will get an idea of what somebody is saying when they say that Venus is on your sun today. So what would that mean? Venus, the goddess of love, the goddess of beauty, is on your sun, your identity, your ego. And so that tells you what that is, an astrological significator of in your life. So it's a simple way of just looking at astrology, but it does work. I've been doing this for, as I said, over 30 years. And I'm hearing a little noise. Are we okay?
We're okay. And we've got callers ready to go when you're ready.
Oh, okay. Well, would somebody like to ask a question?
Well, I'm sure they're calling in for meetings, so let's take the first call. We've got Bob in Australia on line one. Let's start there. Bob, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me okay? I've got a new microphone.
Yes, I can. Hi, Bob. How are you?
How am I? I'm stupid. Yesterday I was magnificently stupid, and I was worn out by lunchtime. It was really too much hard work.
Well, just take a deep breath and relax, and we'll see if we can figure something out. What is your first date?
Before you start that, Julie, I was just listening to your preamble, and my heart is open to everything, you know. I love that. But what you were talking about out there and in there just prompted a reminder of this little thing that came to me about 20 years ago, and I call it raindrop. So within the wholeness of creation, I see myself as a raindrop in the ocean. I am aware of the ebb and flow of consciousness, but I still know the raindrop that is me.
Yes, yes.
And just so you know, Bob, you're on with Anne. This is hour two of the
Anne.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, so my date of birth.
Yes.
I share the same birthday as Nikola Tesla, but he's a bit older than me and he's dead. So it's The 10th of July. Well, 1950.
I didn't hear the beginning. The 10th of July of
1952.
And do you know what time of day you were born?
It feels like 3 a.m., but I'm, you know, I don't have a piece of paper with that on it.
Okay. Well, we're going to miss a lot of information because guesswork doesn't do it. And we see the subject area of the houses by the moment that you were born. You know, what time of day is it? It's which sign is in charge of the chart. And so the first parts of your life and the second part, which is home and which is public, those are all affected by the time of day you were born. But I'm going to put you at noon. And what city were you born in?
I was born in Taplow in Buckinghamshire in the UK, which isn't too far from London.
Will you spell that city?
T for Tom, A for Apple, P for Peter, L for Luscious, O for Orange, and W for Water. Tap below.
Okay. Okay, so I'm not finding that. So I will use London. You say it's close to London, and that's going to affect the ascendant, but since we don't have the time, we can do that estimate. Okay. And what I'm going to be looking for, Bob, is I'm going to be looking at patterns, the geometry between the planets in your chart. And as you were talking about the drop of water, I was thinking there's got to be heavy Pisces energy in your chart or heavy Neptune energy. And there's got to be water stuff in your chart. And your sun is in the middle of the sign of Cancer, and it's very close to Venus, which is an interesting thing for our conversation today, because in the sky today, in a different sign, but it still matters because of the pattern, sun and Venus are very close together. Now, your chart at noon shows the moon at the very last degree of Aquarius. And the reason I chose noon for a time is the moon moves about 13 degrees of the day, and we're looking at it in the middle of the day, so we're kind of seeing where it could have been during the day. But if you were born in the afternoon, after about 1 p.m., you would have a Pisces moon, which again fits your original metaphor of being the drop in the ocean. And we also see that your sun is in an exact square with Neptune. And Neptune is the most spiritual of all planets. It's the planet that says life should be perfect. And if I do this, it will be perfect. But the thing is, nothing ever is perfect. So there's lots of disappointments because it's like, oh, this is the perfect thing to do. This is the perfect person I've met. This is the perfect job for me. This is the perfect, and it never is perfect. And that's one of the hard things this pattern needs to learn is, you know, we wouldn't be here if life were really perfect. We're here to learn from the imperfections. But the other thing that this pattern can do is it can make one have a tendency to gravitate toward things like drama, the theater, art, music, because those are expressions that go toward perfection, and or they can tend toward addictive behaviors, so that there could be drug or alcohol addiction in various periods of your life, which is all a part of trying to find perfection in the world we live in now. Now, you've got a little saving grace in this pattern because Uranus, which Turnus called Prometheus, it's like, I'm going to make big changes. But it's also the planet, Neptune may be the planet of psychic knowledge, so if you walk into a room, you know that somebody just had a big fight in this room. No, nobody's in the room now, but you know there was a big fight in there. But You also know if you walk into a room that something wonderful just happened here. This is just part of the pattern of knowing things in a Neptunian psychic way. But Uranus, which is right next to your sun, is saying, I got to do things differently. And it's psychic in a different way. It's psychic where you get an idea of, just an instant idea. I've got to do this and this and this and this, and it'll cause this result. And it just is a bang, a flash. It can be visual. It can be just step by step. But it's knowing the details without any reason for knowing the details. Does that all sound like something that you're familiar with?
Yeah, if I may respond, darling. Spot
sure.
on. As far
okay.
as creativity, this is my 59th year as a paid stage performer. Music, as I've always
Perfect.
Been a channel for music. Addictive behaviors, I'm still working on that, but you're clear on that. And where I am, like in my own hero's journey, I'm at the phase of rediscovering the innocence of my birth, reclaiming that, learning how to love myself. And for me, there is a destination for healing, and that destination is the state of unconditional love. So that's my next step after I've reclaimed totally the ability to love myself entirely. Then I will be heading off to the state of total unconditional love. So that's where I feel I am on my journey. And I'm really fascinated by what you've shared.
Do you know what, Bob? If you can have unconditional love for yourself, that is quite literally unconditional love for the universe.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes
sense. So there you are. There you are. There's only one lesson to learn. It's the unconditional love. And wherever that is, it covers the whole universe. And you're
yeah.
in such a ripe time right now for this, because there's such a powerful pattern in the sky that connects Uranus and the Sun and Venus, which are just tightly tied together in your chart. And that says, this is you coming to you. This is happening for you in this life this year. In fact, this summer. So, and
well,
loving oneself means also loving the warts. Because the Piscean energy is going to say, well, I'm going to get rid of all the warts and then I can love myself. But that's not the way it works.
No, it's accepting me, warts and all. I am that I am, and I am
yes.
content, me.
Yes, yes. So this is really wonderful. Without a birth time, I can't do much with the Indian chart, and I can't do a lot more with areas of life. But you're definitely in the right field, music and theater and drama and... I mean, you are in the field you were born to be in. That's a really good thing.
What has given me... I'm 71 now, and I have never had as much zest for life ever before in my life. And that...
Congratulations.
This energy came when I chose my mission, and my mission is to eradicate suicide. And all my efforts for the last 20 years have been sort of working towards that goal. And I it's my life is amazing, you know, and I take full responsibility for this life that I do create.
Bob, if your tendency toward perfection, I would encourage you to not think in terms of eradicating all suicide, but doing as much as you can for as many as you can. Because we don't live in a perfect world, and you are not going to change that globally. My personal belief is that the person in front of me, the life in front of me right now, is more important than any principle. So I would love to get solar power for my home, but in order to do that, I'd have to chop down 700-year-old trees. And the life of the tree is more important to me than saving the lives of trees by having solar energy.
Well, it's funny, darling, what you just said really resonates strongly with me. I've recently started a support group in my area. It's called On the Mend. It's about men mending, if you like, because my healing started just by sharing. And I know the world's not perfect. And when I look at why am I doing what I'm doing, and the answer comes back, if simply by doing what I'm doing and sharing my story, I can save one life, then
yes,
it's all been worth it. It's all been worth it. So that's
And
how
I'll
I
tell
do.
You something else about your chart. The point in your chart that speaks to all of your past lives and all of your knowledge is right next to the planet that symbolizes death and rebirth, which isn't about literal death, although it could be, but it's about transformation, which makes you, Bob, a very powerfully transforming human being. And as a communicator, because Mercury, the communicator, is in the same pattern, you know how to build things up from the ashes. You know how to create new life when life is gone. So you are doing the right thing.
Well, thanks for the corroboration.
That's what we get with astrology. That's the amazing thing. You give me your birth data, and I can tell you what you're doing. And you're doing it right.
Well, going back to my time of birth and just going within, I still get, and this is just my inner intuition, I still get 3 a.m. coming through. So, that's just what's, what I feel. 3 a.m. feels right to me.
Well,
interesting.
It doesn't add anything to the chart that is meaningful to me. What it does add is it puts a lot more influence on communication, and it certainly puts a lot more influence on groundbreaking, breaking the rules, breaking old traditions. So that's what that would do. But anyway, thank you so much, Bob. This was a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, it's been a joy to connect with you. And that well-known phrase was saying, I'll be back.
Okay.
No, Bob.
Thank you.
All right. And thanks for calling in. All right, we got another line. Let's go to, 203 next. 203, what's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
Hi, it's Pat from Connecticut.
Hi, Pat. And
hi, Pat.
Hi, I'd love a chart. Love you to take a look at my chart.
Well, I'd be really happy to do that. Let me get your birth date.
It's 7/12/5353.
And do you have the time of day you were born?
11:51 a.m.
And the city and state?
New Haven, Connecticut.
Okay. July 12th. We've got a theme going here.
I'm sorry?
We have a theme going here. You and Bob have so many connections between your charts. First of all, you were only born about a year apart.
Right.
And then what we see in your chart is at the very top of the chart, and I can say that because I know where the top and the bottom and left and right are. At the top of the chart, you have in Cancer an exact connection between Mars and Uranus. And I've got to say that particularly in the career arena of your life, there have been some highly unusual and very active things that may have had to do with accidents. Does that make any sense?
It does.
Okay. What can you tell the audience what that means in your life? I mean,
yeah.
What happened?
Yes. It's not a happy thing. Due to my upbringing and things that happened in a very negative household, I was my education was withheld. I was, and even worse things were done. So, if things had gone right, I would have probably been an anthropologist or a social worker, and also an artist. And instead, I spent most of my life holding myself together and surviving, and in between that, having, you know, a lovely, lovely son. And creatively raising him, but unfortunately as a single mother, not a lot of resources to do the best I could for him. And I should be an artist. I do animal portraits, but I have yet to succeed at that. So, yeah.
Okay. I want to redefine the word success here, because we live in a Western culture with a very specific definition of success, which means fame and money. And I don't consider that a successful life. It's nice. Money is nice. I'm not so sure about fame. But success is doing something well, something that satisfies you. And you have an exact connection between Mars and Uranus. And you must be doing something that breaks the traditional rules, breaks the traditional rules of family, for one thing.
Absolutely.
You have a position in your chart, Chiron, an asteroid. It's in the fourth house, which is the house of your family of origin. And this is a position that most often makes people feel like, I don't belong in this family. The gypsies must have left me here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, and this is a pattern that's exactly at that same degree again. So my teacher told me that when we are born, we look for issues that we want to work on in this lifetime. And then we find a chart that will do that. And then we find the parents who will install the issues.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So this is very much, I'm going to read the symbol for your sun. There's a symbol for all of these planets.
Okay.
And the symbol for your sun is, I made a cheat sheet of symbols, but it's a cheat booklet, actually. Okay, this symbol is Phoenician gondoliers giving a serenade. Happiness is an overtone of social integration and conformity to custom. But see, you're sitting in a body that says, I'm not going to conform to custom. It says there's a drive for social integration through the elegant and standardized play of acceptable emotions. So your life is I'm going to say war zone between wanting to fit in with what everybody expects and what is appropriate and et cetera, et cetera, and wanting to break the rules and do it your way. And interestingly enough, the symbol for the two planets that are saying break the dang rules, that symbol is not a bad symbol at all. It's an unusual symbol for these planets, actually. It's a priest performing a marriage ceremony. It's ritualizing interpersonal relationships. So a marriage ceremony doesn't necessarily change the relationship between the two people. It's a ritual that states it publicly. And so one of the things is you're looking for rituals, and you're looking for rituals to break.
Yeah. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Please continue.
Now, there's another symbol that says, how do you approach anything new in your life? And when you talk about being an artist, you are an artist. You've got Libra rising, and you've got Saturn, the planet of physical world, making things exalted in its very best place in Libra, and it's with Neptune. My teacher said when you have these two planets this tightly connected, it's an indication of being a magician in a former lifetime. So there's that energy that is so profoundly artistic and creative. And the symbol for your ascendant is, how do you approach anything new? Around a campfire. And we're using 11:51 a.m. because that's the time you probably have on your birth certificate. We don't know. In fact, this is 3:59. So
okay.
I'm guessing that you were born maybe a few minutes, not a few minutes, but a few seconds after 11:51, but possibly before 11:52, because that changes the symbol. It says, a person revealing to her students the foundation of an inner knowledge upon which a new world can be built. So these are like dream fragments. You can be the teacher or you could be the student. And as you interpret this, I mean, there are hundreds of ways you can interpret it. You could be either one. You can be both at the same time. But it's about inner knowledge upon which a new world can be built. This is what drives you. Anytime you go to a new restaurant, open a new book, it's how can I get clues to building this new world? It's the essential process of passing on seed ideas, receiving it from our elders, which could be through books or through friends or through teachers, or it's also about passing them on to others. So that's a big pattern in your chart.
This is incredible. I've never had such a positive reading or so mystical. I don't mean mystical, a deep, you know, archetypal meanings. And I've always been afraid of the planets that you're talking about, the Saturn where it is and the Mars and the other one where it is. And you're showing me positive things. I can add to show you, what you're describing is all my dreams. But I was sent away and silenced and sent away, and I still didn't stop talking and I still didn't stop being my joyful self. So I was put away in mental institutions and given ECT, and, you know, it almost killed me. It killed all of what you're talking about. And I'm only just getting back to it through being ministered.
Yeah.
Here's the priest, learning self-love, learning to heal the heart to then heal the world.
And see, the beautiful thing in your chart is we've got a sextal, which is a very positive, exact connection between Pluto, the planet of death and rebirth, the planet of profound transformation, and Neptune and Saturn. So what this tells me is that your chart has put you into these profoundly difficult situations in order, quite literally, to rebirth you into a spiritual being.
And I have to tell you, I mean, you are bringing tears in my eyes and in my soul. And sorry about that. I don't know. I so much want to do what you're describing. I don't know how much time I have left. I'm 70.
Well, I'm 74, so there's time.
I need
You've got time. Let me look at the symbol for what it is that you will learn in this life, even though that's not what you set out to learn, but you will learn it so thoroughly that you will carry it into lifetime after lifetime. And let's see what that might be.
Please forgive my phone.
Okay.
It's buzzing.
Oh, it seems to be smooth here. Yeah. Okay. This is pretty amazing. What you will have learned in this life is what happens when you try to fit your individual will against the power of the collective will of society.
So my soul right now says you get destroyed.
That's exactly what it says. You don't, you keep you if your individual will, the planet involved in this is Pluto, your individual will is saying, I want to do it this way. And society is saying, no, you can't do it that way.
Right.
And your choice is, okay, well, it's kind of like when we're old enough and we took civics, or at least I did, civics and government classes in high school, and they said, yeah, you're free to break the law, but you have to break the law knowing that you're willing to accept the punishment.
Right,
so that's
okay.
This is what this is about. This is, yes, you can break the rules, but you have to know what the punishment is for breaking the rules. And
okay.
If there is another way you can do it subversively,
yeah,
so that you're not overtly breaking rules,
right,
then you can do the things that you want to do. But this is just a practical thing. Pluto is the planet that says, you know, there's a phrase, you guys are going to hear this phrase from me a lot. It's called, the only difference between a rut and a grave is how deep do you dig it? And if you are so determined that you're going to do it this way, what? So if you're so determined you're going to do it this way and not that way, you're in a rut that's becoming a grave.
Wow.
And the planet Pluto is saying, okay, if you're in the wrong place, if you're digging your rut too deep, I'm going to start throwing the book at you. And you're going to get mad and start throwing the book back at me. But if I can't get it done, I got a friend. I got a good friend with a sewage truck, and he's going to fill in your rut.
So is there a positive answer to this?
Oh, yes, it is. It's recognizing how profoundly unique and different you are. And honoring that. But
yeah.
You honor that. You absolutely honor that. But you can't say, as we all want to sometimes, the law should be different, so I'm going to do it that way, and think that makes it doable.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all subject to the world around us.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So how I'm interpreting that right now from what I'm learning in ministry is that I'm taking offense with the world, and the answer is not that at all. You forgive it, you forgive yourself, and then you heal your heart, and you take that path. And
that you may have very good reasons for thinking the world should be different. Don't let that one go.
Oh, yeah,
you can
right.
You be completely right. But you can't take your sword and beat the world.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if Nicole wants other people to call
you.
Yeah,
we probably ought to see if we can get another person in here.
I just want to say,
Pat, it's just been such a pleasure.
Me too. And I need to tell you, my dog just passed, and he has been telling, do it your way, do it your way, do it your way for the first time in your life. And I want to get a reading for my son. I'm looking at my computer right now, so I'm going to find you. You are lovely. Oh, my goodness. This is just amazing.
Well, let me give you and everybody. Go ahead. Nicole.
Actually, Pat, before you go, I just want to let both of you know that we've lost all the other callers. We've been having trouble with the switchboard, so if you want to stay with Pat for a little longer. You've
okay.
got about 7 minutes before we need to wrap.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yes, we can go further with your chart, Pat. There's a lot of ways, but I do want to let everybody know that you can reach me easily through email. It's ANNE@StarIEL, that's star with IEL at the end of it, .com. And I will get back to you. If you don't hear me, sometimes I get so much junk mail that I can't, you know, I miss something. If you don't hear from me, write back, because I never ignore people.
Okay. StarIEL.com.
Right.
Great. Wonderful. Got it.
Okay. Something else in your chart is you have a very tight connection between Mercury, these are in the sign of Leo. So these are dramatic, and they want to be known. And it's with your south node, which is past lives, where you were very much a public figure. And your moon and Mercury are there together. And that means that you definitely want to speak out, but you've got an interesting Mercury. It's not, it's a stationary Mercury. It's not direct. It's not retrograde. It's standing still in a position of changing direction. So your communication tends to be, you take an idea, somebody says something to you, if somebody calls you a dirty name, you tend to not just say something witty back. You tend to take it inside, and 2 days later, you've got the perfect answer. So, but when you do speak, it comes, it carries a lot of weight. It's,
yes.
Weight is not, it carries a lot of drama. It is,
yes.
It's dramatically compelling to people. And
yeah.
Do know that, because with that kind of a pattern, let's see, this is a three, you're when you tell a story, it comes across with a lot more drama than you realize you're telling it with. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good to know, because it can be very useful, but it's also good to know because it can get in your way sometimes.
Right. And when I think about my Leo and moon, I feel like oftentimes I just want to get on the stage and perform, and all I do is trip over myself.
Yeah, it's a stationary Mercury. It's a stationary Mercury.
Yeah, just doesn't
work. You'd be a better storyteller than a performer.
Yeah, well, I mean, just that symbolically, just to communicate, to attach myself to the world in a way that people would take attention, whether it was being a comic or anything.
Mm-hmm.
That part of me, I just stumble. It just never works.
You see, another reason for that is that Leo is also in your, is also the sign of your Pluto, and Pluto makes a person private. So
okay.
You get out in front. I've had people who had a prominent Pluto, and I do too, who stand up in front of people, and they want attention, and no matter what they do, they're ignored.
Yes.
The key to Pluto attention is to take your power and hold it inside of you. Center your power, keep it inside. I'll give you three examples. One time, I was at a conference, and I was a helper with a conference. I had to check people's badges when they went into lectures. And there was this one really attractive guy. I was a lot younger then. Really attractive guy who was just as rude as he could be. My badge is in my bag. It's hard to get out. Well, I'm sorry, but you can't go in the room without showing your badge. And he was just pissy. Mm. He was just pissy.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is Pluto. You know, he's trying to pull a power game. And so standing in the lunch line, I realized I was standing behind him. And I said to myself, this was a really rude man, the really gorgeous, really rude man. And so I'm just going to gather all of my power into myself and wait. And no sooner than I did that, he turned around and opened a conversation with me.
Yeah, I get it. You're
so
right.
So that's what you do. You take all that power. And I had a client, I said, she was going to a wedding. It was supposed to be as a plus one. Socially, she didn't have one and felt really embarrassed. I said, okay. She had an issue with Pluto in her chart. I said, you go to that wedding and don't speak to anyone until they speak to you. She got home and called me, and she said, I did what you said, and every man there introduced himself to me.
Wow. I know exactly what you said, and I haven't done that much. I've given myself away in hopes that I get seen. I remember I was working in a place that didn't like women, didn't like creative people, didn't like lots of stuff, and we went to a Christmas party, and I walked in, and I saw the hate towards me and how I was just going to be ostracized. And instead, I was strong enough to stand by myself alone, so obviously alone, and just deal with it, and the kindest man came up to me and asked me to dance.
Yes.
And he knew exactly what he was doing, and oh my God, I loved him forever. That kindness was incredible.
But he was not attracted to you out of pity. He was attracted to your power.
Yeah, well,
Yes. And he was also...
So when you hold that inside yourself, yeah, that's what will happen.
Yeah. Wow, what a lesson you've just given me, because I have not focused on that for a long time or not believed in it. And
well,
that's
it's so counterintuitive. It's so totally counterintuitive.
Yes, yes, that's right. That's right. Listen, I have got to get, I hope I can afford you, I have got to get a reading from my son. He just, yeah, I mean, this would just be wonderful for him. Wonderful.
Okay,
and
we'll email about it and get the details and see what we can
okay.
do.
Just, oh gosh, please come on again. You're wonderful.
Well, I'll be on every month.
Oh, great. Good, good, good. I'm so glad I called. Thank you. I'll be in touch. Thank you
so much.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks.
And with that, we've got about 3 minutes to the top here. Shameless self-promotion. And what have you got for us?
Well, first of all, go to my website, www.stariel.com, S-T-A-R-I-E-L.com. And I have a book which is about remedies you can use for planetary problems, and that's called Vedic Secrets to Happiness, and that's available on Amazon. And I am available for readings, and that's what I love to do. So that's an easy piece. So there we are.
Beautiful. All right, and it was great to great time to connect today, and glad it all flowed in the end. And yeah, we will talk to you next month.
Okay, sounds perfect. Thanks, Nicole.
And
thank you, Pat.
All right,
and Bob.
Thank you. And thanks Bye-bye. For tuning in, calling in, and we'll be all linked up, at newsforthesoul.com. And we're back with more right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Yay, we are live April 11th, 2017. It is 10 a.m. Pacific, 11 Mountain Time, I do believe, and that's the time we had pegged away for a very special hour on News for the Soul, especially in times that we are in right now. We've talked to him many times over the years, and this, I believe, is going to be one of the most important chats because of what's going on in our world today. Greg Braden, New York Times best-selling author, is internationally known as a pioneer in bridging science and spirit, which is one of the favorite places we like to hang out. Following a successful career as a computer geologist in the 1970s, he worked as a senior liaison with the U.S. Air Force Space Command during the Cold War years in the 80s. In the 90s, he became started exploring the spirituality side as well, and the two come together in a very most interesting way. He explored high mountain villages, remote monasteries, and forgotten texts, and started connecting the dots, and that's where it gets really exciting. Today, we're going to talk about his latest book as well, Resilience of the Heart. I understand it's the revised edition of The Turning Point, so we're going to find out all about that and find out, well, I'm most excited about checking in and tuning in with Greg's exciting perspective, conscious perspective on what the heck is going on in our world of extremes right now. Greg Braden, welcome back to News for the Soul.
Hey, Nicole, it's so good to hear your voice. I'm absolutely thrilled to be with you today and thrilled to be with our audience. Thank you for inviting me back. We've done this a number of times, and when I saw the list came into my office of my media interviews that I was going to have this week, I saw your name, a big smile on my face, because we always have a really great program, and I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Oh, right back at you. We are very much appreciating the piece that you bring to the big picture, and holy moly, I don't even know where to start today. It's been a few years since we've talked, but it's
a whole different world. Can I get us started today?
Yes.
I'm going to just share with our listeners, I had a really interesting interview recently, another radio station, and the first thing the interviewer said to me, He didn't say, welcome to the show, how are you, anything like that. He said, Greg, why can't you stick with one topic like everybody else? He said, you are all over the map. He said, are you talking about science, spirituality, about DNA, about ancient history, about earth magnetics, about climate change? He goes, what are you talking about? And I said, you know, every one of those things that you've just mentioned is a facet of the human experience. And in a very real sense, I said, I am talking about one thing, one topic. It just happens to be a really big topic, and it's about us and our relationship to ourselves and to the world and to the past and one another and to the future. And then he said, well, let's take a station break. And then we came back and did the rest of the interview. So my work, it does touch on many facets of our experience because we don't live in a vacuum. That's the world that we live in. And that's one of the reasons I love working with you, Nicole, because you are doing such a beautiful job of taking a message that for some people is a new way and a very different way of thinking and sharing this in a responsible way across the airwaves. And I appreciate that. I just appreciate it tremendously.
Well, we really value your work and your piece, and I'm extremely interested to get your overall perspective. That's where I'd like to start is, if the world's very different than it was when we last talked. We were kind of on this exciting ascension of connection, and, you were showing videos of tumors disappearing in 60 seconds. We're all very happy and excited and woo. And we thought we'd be in a different place by now. It's got this overall view of things kind of going off the rails in the mainstream, and I thought we were further ahead, evolved consciously, and, perspective on where we are in the world with in the spirit and consciousness connections. How would you sum it up in that view?
Yeah, it's. I was just reading a history summary of the last 200 years of our experience, and what many historians now are suggesting, they embrace that the 20th century, they're saying, was a century of what they're calling a century of discovery. Okay, so the big discoveries of physics, classical physics, quantum physics, subatomic particles, DNA, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Nag Hammadi Library, the oldest records of the New Testament, the Nag Hammadi, and space exploration. It was a century of exploration, and it revealed many things to us. And the 21st century, they say, where we are right now, is we are on a very steep learning curve of discovering where those discoveries fit in our lives. How do we apply what we now know to be true in our everyday lives? And I think the world is reflecting that right now, Nicole. I trust in the process. The world is a different place than I expected that we would be in, on the one hand. And on the other hand, the indigenous people that I've talked to and worked with, many of the ancient texts, they say within the first 25 years of this new century, they said, we won't even recognize our lives and our world anymore. And I think, we're seeing that happen. So we're learning about ourselves and our relationship to the world based upon new discoveries. And this is what I'm writing about. The new book, the newest book that is on the market right now that you have access to is called Resilience from the Heart. There's actually another book that will be released October of this year called, the title is Human by Design.